today on Life Talk.
If you think submission means that the one who is having to do the submitting has less value than the one you're submitting to, you don't understand submission. It has nothing to do with less value or less anything. It has to do with a weaker frame. That's it.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Last time on Life Talk, we looked at Peter's instructions on submission. He advised us to submit to those over us, even if they are harsh and difficult. Of course, as long as it's not illegal or immoral. This time, Peter is not ready to let go of the submission issue. He's going to lovingly meddle a little bit by talking about marriage, wives and husbands, and how to get along in the home. I believe this is going to help and bless you, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Your Submission, from our series out of 1 Peter entitled, Comfort for the Suffering.
We're going to talk about your favorite topic, submission. Everybody say hallelujah. Now, some of you are already looking for the exit door. Hang on. Because Peter continues in chapter 3 with the subject of submission at home. Now, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to get up and leave, and then I'm going to go into it. Because we're going to deal with submission at home. But he first addresses wives. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Even if some do not obey the word, that without a word, they may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now notice, she's not preaching at him. Because what's the word? He said, without a word. Peter says, the weapon that works is the double-edged sword of chaste conduct, which means a pure life, coupled with the fear of God. Amen. So wives, trust God. Now, he's going to meddle even more with you ladies before we're done. Because now he's going to talk about how women dress. Ooh, I'll tell you. You know, I'm just going through the Bible here. I didn't choose these verses. But look what he says in verse 3 and 4. He says, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel, shopping at Needless Markup, Neiman Marcus. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, of the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. He says, not merely outward. So that means, sure, pay attention to the outward, but not just the outward. So merely sets you ladies free. I want every lady here to say, thank God for merely. Because merely changes all. Don't let your adornment be merely outward. So not just your appearance, but even more so your inner man, a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. Now, I'm not here tonight to talk about modesty in dress and all of that. That's not where I want to go. Just suffice it to say, I believe the more you walk in the Spirit, you will understand modesty. I think there is nothing more attractive than a woman who dresses classy, but not trashy. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Now, he says, the most important adornment in a woman is a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, that's from the Greek words put together that mean divinely inspired inner calmness. That's what it means, divinely inspired inner calmness. This woman has peace with God, and her worries and cares have been cast upon the Lord. She's at peace. When she walks into the room, peace comes with her and tranquility. Her burdens are upon the Lord. She is submitting, trusting God with her situation. Amen. Peter is saying clothes and jewelry can be bought, but divinely inspired inner calmness and tranquility are priceless. Yeah. So that when the man comes home, or when the man's with his woman, they're together, the kids are there, what they sense in mom or in wife or in girlfriend, whatever, is this inner calm, this peace with God. Not that, ladies, you don't get uptight sometimes or fret sometimes. I'm not saying that at all. You're not superhuman. But as on the whole, there is a trust in God that has brought peace in this woman's life. And so Peter calls it an adornment. He calls it a type of inner clothing. She has clothed herself in this. He uses the holy women of old in the Old Testament for an example. Verse 5, he just alludes to it. Verse 6, he names Sarah. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. Adorned themselves with what? That divinely inspired inner calmness, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, verse 6, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now catch this, this is a huge insight. He says to the women, he says, look, you've got a legacy from Sarah. And the legacy is submission and trusting God in that submission. And that's what not afraid with any terror means. It means you're trusting God. So even though you're submitted to somebody who may not be walking with God, may be a troubled individual, may not be everything you wished or wanted or hoped for, but you're trusting God. So any fear of submitting to that person is gone. You're not full of terror. That's what Sarah passed down to women of faith. Now, in verse 5, he speaks generally without naming anybody, but in verse 6, it's Sarah he homes in on. So watch this now. While Abraham left all believers a legacy of salvation by faith, Sarah left believing women a legacy of success by submission. Amen. I'm just telling you what's been passed down spiritually. I got from Abraham, when I put my faith in Christ, I was saved. Not by any works, but I was saved by faith. Because Abraham was declared saved and righteous by faith when he offered up Isaac. Amen. So what he bequeathed to all believers evermore, and why he's called the father of our faith, is salvation by faith alone. Yeah. But what Sarah left to every woman of God is success by submission. And it wasn't always easy. If you think Abraham was perfect, you need to read your Bible. This guy messed up big time, several times. She followed him when he unwisely sought safety from famine in Egypt. She went down into Egypt with him, knowing it wasn't the place they should go. She held her peace when he lied and said, she's my sister. So if you want her, don't beat me up to get her. Hey, she's not my wife. She's my sister. And because he said that, Pharaoh took her into his castle. Now here's Sarah, not afraid with any terror. You know what she was saying? God, he's your man. Abraham, my husband, is your man. He told a white lie. You know he lied. I know he lied. He's your man. So what does God do? He plagued the entire house of Pharaoh with sickness and death till Pharaoh said, what's up here? What's going on? And then God told him in a dream, you have taken a prophet's wife. And he said, I hadn't touched her. And he got rid of her like a hot potato. Okay? And then here comes Pharaoh talking to Abraham, the man of God. Why'd you lie to me? Well, I didn't really lie. I kind of lied. I just said she was my sister. She's my half-sister. So I kind of gave a half lie, and he's convicted right in front of a totally pagan king. Amen. Amen. It was a bad moment for the father of our faith. Now, he says, whose daughters you are, Christian ladies, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Sarah had no fear in her submission, for she trusted God. Let me ask you, ladies, did God undertake for her? Come on. Of course he did. She submitted and she trusted God, not terrorized or terrified, and God plagued Pharaoh's house. And God took care of her. Now, that's what she gave to you ladies. All right? Submission without fear, success by submission. Now, next Peter turns to the men. Every lady in here say, all right. It's time to talk to the men. Now he turns to the husbands. And he says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, Peter exhorts husbands to be understanding. He says, I want you to live with them with knowledge, and means understanding. Well, understanding of what? Knowledge of what? Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now, the word vessel points directly to her body. So Peter is simply stating that the husband is to be gentle and kind and considerate of her weaker frame. It has nothing to do with less intelligent, gifted, capable, talented, or less value than. That is not submission. Submission is totally misunderstood. If you think submission means that the one who is having to do the submitting has less value than the one you're submitting to, you don't understand submission.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with less value or less anything. It has to do with a weaker frame. That's it. Now, the feminists among us can go all day long about women being equal to men, but I'm going to tell you the harsh truth. Physically, it's not true. I'll arm wrestle any of you here tonight. No, I'm kidding. It's not true. I mean, it's just not true. Now, every once in a while, it may be true. There may be some woman who has worked out and she can whoop her man. That may be true, but you know what I'm saying. Genetically, on the whole, men are stronger. And that's all he's saying. By nature, men are stronger. And so they are exhorted not to lord that over the woman, but be understanding. I'm going to give you an example from Abraham. When the three angels visited his tent, Abraham told Sarah, he said, man, we got some heavenly visitors. He said, quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. Well, that sounds like he's bossing her around, doesn't it? Hey, lady, jump, because we got some visitors. Jump! But I want you to look at what he did then. Look what he did in cooperation with his woman. Verse 7, and Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man. He hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Abraham did the heavy lifting. He got the calf, he prepared the calf, and are you ready? He set the table.
Amen.
Now, some of you men are going, thanks a lot, Pastor Jeff. I really appreciate this because my wife has a photographic memory. And I'm just showing you, Amen. I'm showing you that though Abraham said, hey, I need your help with this and this, he went then and did the heavy lifting. And he cooperated with his wife and he treated her with honor. To top it off, his name for Sarah was Princess, for that's the meaning of her name. Now, you got a guy who does all the heavy lifting. He walks with God, and he calls you Princess. Is that hard to submit to? You ought to all have a pet name for your wife. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but think of something. If you can't think of anything, Princess will do. I knew I was going to have fun tonight.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111. Or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, Peter gives the man a little bit of incentive. He says, that your prayers be not hindered. Ooh.
Amen.
So in picking up things around the house or doing difficult manual labor, that's when the man is to practice chivalry and be considerate of her limitations and step up to help, because you're heirs together of the grace of life. And if you don't do that, it could hinder your prayers. The word hindered here is from a Greek word used to describe hindering somebody by breaking up the road they're traveling on. It's used to describe somebody being detained unnecessarily. Or Paul uses this word to explain in the Romans why he had not yet visited them. He says, Satan has hindered me. That's the same Greek word. He has hindered me. So Peter is describing what happens in a home where the husband doesn't treat his wife biblically, with understanding, with the knowledge she's weaker. And let's face it, her emotions are more delicate. Come on, they are. Amen. They're more delicate. She's more sensitive. Amen. You know, us guys, we just run roughshod over everything. The woman is sensitive. She feels things more intensely. She picks up on your emotions. She picks up on what people are thinking and feeling. She takes things more personally. And he's to treat her with understanding. Okay, I understand that. I understand that. Boy, it took me years to get that. I mean, I was dumb and dumber. El stupido. I mean, I just didn't get it. I was the leader. And I'm a real leader type. I am. And I'm always forging forward. And I expected her to be right there with me, not complaining, not worrying. Peter says, it can hinder your prayers. Amen. If I'm going to take the time to pray, I want it answered. Amen. Next, Peter turns from marital relations to church relations. We're away from marriage. Hallelujah, glory to God. He says in verse 8, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Now notice the adjectives, be of one mind, compassionate, loving, tenderhearted, courteous. These are relational words, and they are to typify how Christians treat one another. They are the glue that keeps a fellowship together and the oil that keeps the church running smoothly. Being of one mind, unified, being compassionate, loving as if they're your real brother or sister, being tenderhearted, which means forgiving and sensitive, and be courteous. Just be courteous. Have some manners. Now then Peter broaches the subject of offenses and how to respond to them. And here we're coming to the close of the chapter. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Now there's three laws in that verse, and here they are. The first law is retaliation. The law of retaliation is when you live by the law of evil for evil. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That was what the Old Testament described, what Moses gave to the people for Old Testament times, and it's called the law of retaliation. But the New Testament changed all that. Peter says, don't live by the law of retaliation. Don't take vengeance. Paul came along and said, beloved, don't avenge yourselves. Rather, give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. Now here's the idea. God sees it when you're wronged. He sees it when you're wronged. So he says, you can either say, well, I'm taking vengeance. It's an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They're going to get theirs and they're going to get it from me. You step in and you take vengeance. Well, here's God, and God steps away. He says, okay, you made your choice. It's your deal. Go for it, guy or gal. Go. But if you say, you really wronged me, you really hurt me, but I trust my God, I give what happened to God, I forgive you. And when you do that and you step out of the way, God steps in.
Amen.
It says, give place to wrath. In other words, get out the way. Okay? Just like we saw with Sarah. God took care of her. God stepped into her situation because she stepped out. This is not saying that you should not respond to a terrible accusation. It's not saying you shouldn't stand up for yourself in court when a major wrong has been perpetrated against you, because we have a court system. It is saying to avoid being a vindictive, vengeful, spiteful, live by the law of retaliation individual.
Amen.
We're to learn to leave the wrongs against us in the hands of God. Okay? Then comes the second law of realization. How can I let go of somebody that wrongs me? That doesn't seem right. How can I do it? He says, knowing. That's the law of realization. Knowing that you were called to this. What was I called to? Called to bless those who curse you. Called to live like Jesus did. How did Jesus live? Peter told us in the last chapter. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. So he didn't live by the law of retaliation. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, I love this last part. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly.
Yeah.
Is that not what Sarah did?
Yeah.
She trusted herself to him who judges justly. And you got to give it time. You can't say, well, 2 days ago they did it, and I've given it to God, and he hadn't done anything, so I'm stepping in. It may take God years.
Amen. Yes.
And besides, you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors of the people that you have given to God.
Yes.
So there's the law of retaliation, the law of realization, knowing, and then there's the law of remuneration, that you may inherit a blessing. This is the remuneration for trusting God. This is the payback. This is the reward. What kind of blessing? Peter says it in verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days. How many of you want to love life? Come on. And how many of you want to see good days? All right, he tells us how. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's looking at you right now. And his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So the blessing Peter speaks of, when we don't retaliate, when we do trust God, the remuneration, the reward is life is sweeter. We love life. We see good days. And he says, your prayers are answered. To enjoy these blessings, we got to first be sanctified in our conversation. He said, don't say anything evil and don't say anything false. Don't lie and don't say evil things. He said, if you want to enjoy your life and see good days and have your prayers answered, then don't say evil things and don't be deceitful. And second, you got to be sanctified in your character. Let him turn away from evil and do good, always remembering that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So here's the deal. I have noticed this. I got saved when I was 16. I had an incredible experience with the Holy Spirit when I was 18. And I've had some real deep valleys. I've had some real high mountaintops. For the most part, I'm a real steady Eddie. I walk my daily routine is so predictable. And I walk with God. I'm in a pace. There is a pace to my race. And I get up and I read the Word and I pray before I eat. It's just my little way of making myself do it. No Bible, no breakfast. That's my little thing. And I walk with God. But I'm going to tell you, I've noticed that if I walk with God and please Him and do those things that I know are in His will for me, then life is sweeter. I do enjoy life. And I do see better days. Not that I don't have trials. I have big trials sometimes. Big trials. But on the whole, I enjoy good days. I enjoy my life. If you were to say, are you happy? I say, yeah, I'm basically happy. Say, do you have joy? I do have joy. I have more joy. The closer I get to Jesus, the more joy I have. But I have problems, I deal with issues, I deal with conflicts, I deal with all kinds, but still, I enjoy life. Now, I look at our culture that has rejected God, walked away, thrown the Bible out, mocks Christians now, and any old way to heaven will do, and they've done away with Jesus officially as a culture. And do I see joy? Do I see them enjoying life? No, I see a nation of angry people, bitter people, even violent people, miserable people, because it's true. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And when you walk with Him, He said, I came that you might have life abundantly. All right? Well, the only way you're going to get abundant life is don't say evil things, walk with Him, don't do evil things, you know, go to church, fellowship, seek God every day. Abide in the vine, and you will experience abundant life. You will.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before, or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.